Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. And as you know, I've asked congregations and audiences all over the world when speaking to take their wallets or purses out, hand me some money. You can imagine the hesitation I witnessed with this request. But slowly, several members or more of the congregation would take out money and show it to me. I normally pick out two people to take money from. Always count the money and ask the person to verify the amount. Next, I repeatedly ask the congregation to help me remember whose money I have in my right hand and whose money I have in my left hand. Needless to say, the congregations are always happy to remind me of how much money I have in each hand and who it belongs to. While holding the money in each hand, I begin a scriptural search of the scriptures. However, before proceeding, I once again ask the congregation to remind me how much money I have in each hand and who it belongs to. Then I start reading the scriptures.
That's right. And he starts with Psalm 24, verse 1. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." The New Living Translation of Psalm 24:1 says it this way: "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him." Think about that. Deuteronomy 10:14 in the Classic Amplified says, "Behold, the heavens and the heaven of heavens belong to the Lord your God, the earth also, with all that is in it and on it." And in Exodus 19, verse 5, it says, "Now if you will obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples on earth, for all the earth belongs to me." And in Psalm 89:11, as if that's not enough proof, God gave us Psalm 89:11 in the Classic Amplified. Says, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it, you have founded them." And in Job 41, verse 11, New Living Translation, it says, "Who has given me anything that I need to pay back? Everything under heaven is mine." And then we complete our scripture search by reading Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12. Now, this is, we kind of have fun with and make it a little bit of our own. So
makes it our own translation.
So have a little fun with us. Psalm 50 verses 10 and 12 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills, and we add on all the sweet potatoes underneath. I know all the fowls of the mountains, the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof."
You know, honey, after finishing all these verses, I hold the money in each hand once again and ask the congregation one more time, "Whose money is it?" In unison, they say, "It's God's money." Understanding that God owns everything will clarify our thinking and keep us from making inaccurate and unscriptural assumptions about the things we own in this life. When we finally get it, that God owns everything, and we own nothing, then it will prevent us from putting the things in our possession into two piles, sacred and secular. The human tendency is to say, "This belongs to God, and this belongs to me." But in reality, as the scripture proves, everything belongs to God.
As the scripture proves over and over and over.
That's right. Now, we realize the title deed to your house and property has your name on it, but it really doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. He's just allowing you to manage it for him. Have you ever thought about who owned the property before you and who owned it before them and who owned it prior to them? Here's a thought. Who's going to own the property after you and after them? Truthfully, it doesn't matter, because it's not yours. It's the Lord's.
Have you ever heard people say, wow, the Lord gave me this house, and then they act like they own it themselves, right?
True. See, the house is not yours. It's the Lord's. Understanding ownership puts everything in a clear, more important perspective. It makes decisions to give much easier. You look at the tithe as a covenant promise that I now get to manage all this. Then when you sow, you can look at it as if I practice God's principles of seed time and harvest. And when you realize that, there's no limit to what you can manage for Him. We want you to get this down in your spirit. We don't own anything, but we get to manage everything as children of the Most High God. Since you now understand that you don't own anything, let's talk about how to manage everything, which is why God calls His children stewards. Yes, God owns everything. We own nothing. But the great news, as I said a moment ago, is that we get to manage everything.
In 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 1 and 2 says, let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. If you do not understand stewardship, you can't really understand the Christian life and how to walk effectively in God's divine provision for you. The simple definition of steward is someone who manages someone else's property. However, we think we need to dig a little bit deeper, because the Greek word for steward, according to Strong's Concordance, means one, the manager of household or household affairs, and then especially the steward, manager, superintendent, whether freeborn or, as was usually the case, a freed man or a slave, to whom the head of the house or proprietor has entrusted the management of his affairs, the cares of his receipts and expenditures, and the duty of dealing out the proper portion to every steward and every servant, and even to the children not of age. The manager of a farm or a landed estate, an overseer, the superintendent of the city's finances, the treasurer of a city, or of the treasuries or the questions of kings. So what kind of manager are we? Are you? Make no mistake, God is not looking for any below average or even average stewards among His children. He's looking for believers who understand and practice faithfulness, integrity, and excellence. And why shouldn't He? He's placed His excellence and integrity and faithfulness in us. The New Living Translation of 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says it this way. Now a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful.
You know, honey, it's interesting and instructive to look up the Greek or Hebrew meaning of the words in Strong's Concordance. We suggest you use blueletterbible.org. Believe it or not, that's it. Blue Letter Bible, all written together, .org, as a reference tool. It's free. The Greek word for faithful, G4103 is defined as persons who show themselves diligent in the transaction of business, the execution of commands, or the discharge of official duties. And it comes from a root word that means to make friends of, to win one's favor, gain one's goodwill, to seek to win one, strive to please one. Our faithfulness, our commitment to excellence, our stewardship of what God has given to us will determine our future blessings. We're to manage God's assets, His resources, His earthly portfolio on earth. This oversight and management includes everything: our time, our mind, our money, our family, even the environment around us. Have you ever been audited by the IRS?
God forbid.
Yeah, we did once. Pointed something out to the guy. I said, that's not fair. He said, who says the IRS is fair? He was right. But have you ever been audited by them? How did it make you feel? Were you a little anxious, nervous, queasy, unsure, full of excuses, or were you confident of your numbers, the forms that you filled out and filed? Now here's the question. How would you feel if God called you in for an audit of your stewardship? What would he find? Would God find that you're tithing and sowing into the kingdom to produce an even greater harvest? Or would he find that you passed up opportunities for personal advancement and wealth increase because you weren't giving your responsibilities the attention they deserve? Unlike the IRS, God's not going to call you, he's not going to call you in for an audit yet. But there's a day coming when you'll be required to give an account of your stewardship. And we can guarantee you, based on the word, that when God calls your name, you will hear him say one of two things. One of two.
In Matthew 25, verse 23, it says, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And in Matthew 25, verse 30, on up in the scripture, it says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
God will either view you and I, view us, each of us individually, as a good and faithful servant, or one to be discarded permanently. Personally, I want to hear the words of Matthew 25:23, this time translated in the Message Bible, where it says, "Good work. You did your job well. From now on, be my partner." Wow. What a great scripture. A partner with God. Now, honey, that's the kind of promotion that we're working for.
That's right.
We trust you are, too.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you've been blessed by the teaching, go to haroldherring.com. At the top where it says, "Sow a seed," just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we'll ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.